All right. Well, thank you for inviting me, Pastor Young. As you shared several years ago, the Lord gave us the privilege of meeting and partnering and just hearing each other's stories and having the privilege of being able to mutually encourage each other. He's been an encouragement to me, and I'm sure, I know he's not been here long, but I'm sure he's been a blessing to you. And I'm really excited about being here. I know it's only going to be for a couple of days. On Sunday, I'm actually going to have to go back because as a church planter, that's it. It's just me. So if I'm not there, we don't have church. So I got to go back on Sunday morning. And it's about three and a half hour drive. So hopefully I'll be able to make it in one piece and get there in time. But it seems like you know my life better than me. You were reminding me some things that I have forgotten. I know I look young, but I'm not that young. So I know for some of you, maybe older people, are like, who's this guy, this young guy up there? But I'm not that young. I kind of act immature, at least that's what my kids tell me. But I'm surprisingly a lot older than you might think. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I have twin boys who are 10. And they're highly competitive. They are into sports. And I got to show them who's boss, because sooner or later they're going to pass me up, and I'm going to go see Jesus pretty soon after that. But I'm very thankful for being here. I hope you are blessed more than just by my ministry or my words, by the Holy Spirit. I hope you come with a very hungry heart to listen to what God has to say to you through His Word, and most importantly through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to read the passage for us, and then we're going to get the show on the road. Father, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Lord, I was just really encouraged by the praise today. It's just really evident that you are alive in this community, in this place, and in people's hearts. And I just thank you for that, God, because just the longer that I live and the more that I see the church, the more that I cherish when I see communities that really long for you and really seem to be touched by your Spirit and really transformed by your gospel. Lord, I just thank you for that. I pray that this retreat, I pray tonight, would be a blessing, and it would be a blessing only because of you. You would help me to be faithful to your word and only to your word, and that everything else will be filtered out. So, Lord, we invite you to come and just speak to us, God. Wherever we are, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we may be thinking about, whatever we may be worried about, God, I pray that during these next couple of days, you will settle our hearts and you would just speak to us in a way that would be very, very particular and relevant to where we are in our walk with you. So, God, we pray that you would come. In Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. I want to read the passage for us. It comes from the book of John. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. I think that's the passage. I hope that's 26, that's right. So, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 26. John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 26. Bear with me, I'm going to read the whole passage. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, You have nothing to draw with water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you are saying is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, I believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the word of the Lord. Now, one of the things I really hate about people or being approached from people is when people try to convince me that there's something that I desperately need to do or to buy, something that I need to have that I don't quite see at the time, that convincing me that, hey, you know, you need to get this, you need to purchase that, you need a new roof. So not long ago, somebody came to my house knocking on my door, you need a new roof. I said, no, I don't. And he's like, yes, you do. And he wouldn't leave. He was like telling me for like 15 minutes until I really got mad. But, you know, we don't like salespeople. We don't like people telling us, hey, you know what? This is what you need. Your life will be fulfilled. You'll be satisfied. You'll be comfortable. You'll be secure. This is what you need. Don't know about you, but that's just something that at times I get so bothered by that it becomes like white noise. People tell me this, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, sometimes I can't help but to think that somehow, for a lot of Christians, this is exactly how we think about the message that we hear people tell us time and time again. You really need Christ. You really need the gospel. You really need Jesus. That's not to say that we sit here and we think, oh, you know what? I really don't need Jesus. I can live my life the way that I want. I don't really want Jesus. Because I'm sure that most of you probably are not in that shoe. Maybe a couple of you are, I don't know. But most of us probably are not there. Most of us are probably in a situation where we're like, yeah, you know what? I know I need Jesus, but do I really need Jesus? You know? Yeah, I have Jesus. I accepted him. I remember that retreat many, many years ago where I gave my life over to him and made that testimony. And after that, in that season of my life, things were so awesome. They were so great. But after a while, it's like, you know what? Yeah, I have Jesus. But you know what I really need? You know what I really need? I need a job. That's what I really need. You know what I really need? I really need him to pay attention to me. Do you know what I really need? I really need my parents to get off my back. You know what I really need? I need to grow taller. Or I need to get thinner. Or I need to get bigger. Brother, you need Jesus. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. That's what we really think. Yeah. I know I need Jesus. But when I'm home, when I'm alone, when nobody's around, when my friends are around, right? This is what I really believe I need. And if I just had this, if I was just this, then I would really be happy. If you're in that place, if you can identify with that, what I hope to present to you over the course of the next couple days is help you see that Jesus is not just an entrance into heaven, but Jesus really is everything. He's everything for you. He's the most important thing in your life, whether you know it or not. What I hope for you to come to realize is just a little bit more that you really do need Jesus. That he is the most important thing that you need. And tonight we're going to start with a very familiar passage, John chapter 4. It's a story that I'm sure you're very familiar with. I'm betting that some of you have probably heard like 10 messages on John chapter 4. Very familiar. And there's a reason, because it's so powerful, right? You haven't heard 10 sermons on Leviticus chapter 10, probably, right? There's a reason, John chapter 4, because there's something about it. All God's words is authoritative and equally God's word, but there are some scriptural passages that speak to the heart and the life situation that's so penetrating, and that's what I hope to do. Probably not going to give you new insight, and if I do, then probably I'm saying something wrong, but I'm going to give you a reminder of who Jesus is, and I want you to just really listen very carefully to this message in John chapter 4. So here we are in John chapter 4. The scenario, Jesus is talking with a woman at the well, right? With a woman at the well. And if you're familiar with the book, you know that in chapter 3, John chapter 3, Jesus just finished talking to anybody? Anybody? Who did he just finish talking to in John chapter 3? Anybody know your Bible? Nicodemus. Woo! Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a, anybody? Pharisee, right. Pharisee who had it all, who knew it all. A Pharisee that was well-respected in society, a Pharisee that everyone thought had everything. But he came to Jesus, he had a conversation with Jesus, and he came to him at night because he was afraid. And Jesus, you know, expounded to him about being born again and the famous passage that is quoted and known, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's where it comes from in this conversation. Now, John turns his attention to another interaction that Jesus had, and this is really a polar opposite, the woman at the well. This woman who's there and totally different than Nicodemus, who had it all and was well-respected. We have an outcast, one who is filled with shame. And what John shows us is that Jesus comes to this place. It was an appointed time because he had to talk with this woman, the woman at the well. This woman, as I said, she was an outcast. The first thing that John notes for us is that she came to this very well at the same time every day. Obviously, back in the day, you didn't just turn on the faucet, get water, right? You went to the well. Women went to the well on a daily basis to get their daily ration of water. She came during a time when no one else was there. And she came to the heat of the day when she knew very well that she would not see anybody because this woman was an outcast. Have you ever been in a situation where you walked in a room, something was going on in your life, or you knew that, I don't know, there were whispers. You walked in a room and you just knew what people were thinking, but yet they were afraid to say. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever been in a situation where you walked in and you just knew that people had assumptions and presumptions about your character, about your past, about your mentality, about you? If you know what that feels like, if you've ever been in that situation, you know that that's not a situation that many people like to be in. In fact, if you know that that's a situation you have to face, you'll do almost anything to avoid it. Now you can understand what this woman felt every day of her life. Because everyone knew her. Everyone knew everything about her. So when she went to get water, she went when no one was there. That was this woman. Jesus just happened to be there. So here's this woman at the well. She's doing her daily thing. She's like, oh, no. Really? You got to be here now? And so she's like covering her eyes, trying to go about her business. And then Jesus just goes right up to her because it was an appointment that Jesus had to have. Jesus came to this well for the express purpose of meeting and conversing with this very woman. He's not there by chance. And he needed to be there alone, so he sends off his disciples on a wild goose chase. Go get some lunch. Go to McDonald's. Pick up something. I don't care what you pick up. Just go. Go. Get out of my face. So they're off. Jesus is there. He talks with this woman. Now, what we have to understand is that the first thing that Jesus does, he breaks the ice, right? He breaks the ice by asking her, well, I mean, what is he going to say? He's like, well, okay, we're at a well. What do you do at a well? You get water. And you're thirsty. So the first thing he asks is, will you give me some water? Will you give me some water? Now, we have to understand that this is really, now, maybe you and I might do this. If we're thirsty, we don't have anything to get water from, but you may know that, you know, this crossed so many cultural, it violated so many things that were normal to the culture back then. First of all, men did not talk to women. They just didn't. They thought of it as being somewhat demeaning, or not demeaning in the sense that they were demeaning a woman, but demeaning for them, because men just didn't talk. They thought that they were better. So men didn't talk with women. And Jews, if you know the history, I don't want to get into it, but Jews just did not associate with Samaritans. They didn't. In fact, they avoided it altogether. They went around it, right? Here's Jesus. He violated everything that was so normal, and it was shocking to this woman. First thing, she's like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to be doing this. Like, is this a dream? Who are you? No one asks me for a drink. And you're a Jew. Jews don't talk to you. You know who I am, even though you don't know who I am, right? So, but Jesus is trying to steer the conversation to something very particular that he wants to get at. So he says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. And then she asks him this. And then Jesus, he segues into what he wants to talk about. He says, now if you knew who it was that you were talking to, right, you wouldn't be all surprised. What you would do is you would ask me for a drink. Now she's like, oh my goodness, this guy's really crazy. First of all, who's the one with the bucket, right? Who's the one with the bucket? How in the world are you going to give me a drink? You don't have anything to draw water from, right? And that's why you asked me for a drink, right? Now you're telling me if I knew who you were, I would be asking you for a drink, right? You wouldn't be talking with me because if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't have anything to do with me. What is this guy talking about? Jesus is like, woman, the water that I'm talking about, the thing that I can give you, is not the water that comes from this well, but it's the living water. It's a water that if you drink it, woman, you will never thirst again. It's better than Gatorade, right? Better than Powerade, better than anything that you've ever drank in your life, this is what I could give to you. Now, the woman, obviously, Jesus is talking on a spiritual level. Throughout the book of John, Jesus always talks on a metaphorical, spiritual level whenever he's talking about physical things, and people never get it. And obviously, this woman, she doesn't get it. So the first thing she says is, give me this water. Oh, my goodness. Give me a new watch. Give me this water, right? Because if I drink it, I don't have to carry this thing around. I don't have to worry. In her mind, she's thinking, man, if I have this water, I don't have to ever worry about seeing anybody again. I don't have to go through that daily ritual of who's going to be there? Are they there? What are they going to think? What are they going to say? Give me this water. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Her response is very natural. How in the world can you give me this water? And why would I ever want water from you? And Jesus' response is very simple. His response to this is, woman, you would ask me because you need it. And you need it because, whether you know it or not, you are thirsty. You are thirsty. The first thing that Jesus does after this interaction, she's totally, she's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm getting a headache. Where is this going? And then Jesus says, go call your husband. She's like, you're going to go there? Come on. I don't have a husband. Oh, yeah, you're right. You've had five. And the guy that you're living with right now, he's not your husband. And her jaw just drops. Boom. Her heart sinks. She thought maybe this is one person in the world who didn't know what I did, who didn't know who I was. And Jesus reveals it. What he reveals is that he knows everything. But here, get this, folks. The reason that Jesus does this is not to shock her. And it's not, my friends, it's not to embarrass her. What he wanted to show her was that she really was thirsty. Not just for water, but for significance, for love. Why does somebody get married? Why does anybody get married? Is it just because I want to have babies? I want to see a little mini-me walking around? Who can I find so that I can make a mini-me? You know, nobody does that. Why do you get married? You get married because you want somebody to be your everything. You want somebody to love you. You want somebody to share life with. And then you go through all that whole ritual. Get on your knee. Give them the ring. Right? You go through it all. And then one day you wake up, you realize, this is what was behind the curtain. Like, really? It's not everything that I thought it was. So what do? You move on. At least that's what she did. Because she was thirsty. And she said, you know what? Maybe it was the wrong well. It's a different well. I have a different well in mind. This one has palm trees. This one is lush. I need a new well. So she goes, gets a new well. And you know what? The same thing. Same stale, lukewarm water. Maybe third time's a charm. Strike three. Strike four, strike five. Maybe it's not marriage. Maybe marriage just isn't my thing.
Maybe I just try cohabitating with somebody. Because maybe that will quench my thirst. Do you see what Jesus is doing? What Jesus is showing her, he's not convincing her that she needs the living water. What he's showing her is, woman, don't you see that you've always been thirsty? You just haven't realized it. You really haven't identified it. Why are you in this situation to begin with? Think about it. What has led you to a place that you have to come to the well at this time of day? Why are you here? Why is your life filled with brokenness and shame? Why can't you ever face people? Don't you see that it's because of your thirst? It's because you've been searching for your thirst to quench it, to fill it. See, you really do need what I have to offer. Folks, if life has ever proven anything to you, it is the truth. I hope you see that you really are thirsty. You may not know it, but you are. It may not be the same way as this woman, or maybe it's exactly the same way as this woman. But my friend, you are thirsty. You are parched. And just like this woman, every day you go to the well. Every day you go to the well, you think to yourself, maybe this day, maybe this time, I'm going to be happy. Maybe this time I'm going to feel significant. Maybe this is going to make me feel important. Maybe this is going to make all the bad feelings go away. Don't you see that every day you go back to the well, just like this woman? Because you, my friend, you are thirsty. And here's John's message to us. It's very simple. Here's John's message. Folks, Jesus is the living water. And you see that thirst that you have that you think that, you know, it's about getting a good job. It's about finding the right person. It's about having the right family. It's about living in the right place. It's about being accepted by the right people. It's about having the right things. You see, all those things that you think, if I get that, if I become that, when I get there, I'll be so happy. I'll be so satisfied. I want you to know that the only place that will ever lead you is the midday in a well where you were hoping that nobody sees you. Because that's what our thirst always leads us to. And the only thing that will ever quench you in a way that you really need, the only thing that will ever satisfy you so you come to realize that you don't need water anymore. My friends, it is the living water of Jesus Christ. So, the first thing I want to ask you to do is just stop thinking that somehow getting there, becoming this, getting them, will quench your thirst, because it won't. It only leads you to more thirst. So the woman is sitting here with Jesus. This leads us to the second issue that she had. Jesus is saying, I am the living water, right? So now she starts thinking in her mind, okay, how? How are you going to satisfy what no man has ever been able to satisfy? Okay, Jesus, I'll grant you that. I'll grant you that nothing in this world really makes me happy, at least not so far, not up to this point in my life. I'll grant you that. But why and how are you the living water for me? How, when I come to you, will you be able to be this living water that allows me never to have to go back to the well? Two things as we close. Jesus is able to quench our thirst because of two things. Number one, Jesus is able to quench our thirst because of his beauty. Because of his beauty. You know how it is when you see something that just takes your breath away, something beautiful, something breathtaking, something magnificent, a work of art, right? Something that you just look at and you're just like, wow. Maybe you don't do wow, but you do something, right? You do something. And it just makes you happy, right? So you put it on a repeat and listen to it over and over and over again, right? Until you get sick of it. Or you look at it until you don't want to see it again, right? But something about beauty, right? Something about beauty is really deeply satisfying. Because it's just how God made us. In a sense, you could call that worship, right? Because what you're doing is you're looking at something, beholding something that just takes your breath away. You're just like, man, that's so awesome. That is so good. I got to tell somebody about that. Come, share with me this awesomeness. Let's go. Let's have this. Let's eat it. And let's revel in it, right? I mean, that's what we do. You read a good book. You're just like, hey, you need to read this. Watch a good movie. You're just like, hey, let's go watch this movie, right? Go on Yelp and say, oh, this was awesome. That's what we do, that's how God made us. You can't get away from that. See, you can't get away from that. You were made to worship. You were made to behold, and to articulate, and to just share, extol, and praise. That's what you were made to do. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus now transitions into. He talks about what? What it means to truly worship in spirit and truth, right? Because that's what, when Jesus talks about the living water, he's saying, I'm here. I'm the one that you behold and you never get sick of. I'm the one that if you truly know who I was, if you truly behold everything that I was, you would never get tired of. You'll never get sick of. There's no curtain. There's no little eyes behind the curtain. You're like, oh my goodness, that's what he really is? Really? No, Jesus is utterly beautiful. He's majestic. He's the Lamb of God. Now here's the thing. The beauty of Jesus, your Savior, is more than just he came with splendor and glory. You know, the transfiguration when you're like, ah, you know, and everyone's like, ah, worshiping the Lamb of God, majestic and beautiful. It's more than just because Jesus is beautiful. Get this. The beauty of Jesus, your Savior, right? What takes your breath away is the fact that he sees it. He sees what? He sees everything. And you know what? He doesn't turn his head. He doesn't gasp. He stays. And he loves. This woman, after her interaction with Jesus, she is so overcome with splendor that John tells us she goes to the very town she has been avoiding for almost all of her life. She goes to the very people that she wanted nothing to do with. And she says, come see this man. You know what she says? He knew everything that I ever did. And doesn't say this, but I bet she was thinking this. He told me everything that I ever did. And he didn't walk away. He didn't laugh. He didn't gossip. He didn't snicker. My friends, I'm here to tell you this. The beauty of Jesus is this. In your Savior, you find someone who knows everything about you. More than you even know about yourself. More than you will ever be able and willing to admit to anybody. He knows it. And He loves you. And that's called grace. He will never get disgusted by you. He will always love you. He will embrace you. See, all the acceptance and the love and the affirmation that you've ever been seeking in, from anybody has always been your thirst for Jesus. Don't you see it? It is a thirst that no person will ever be able to fulfill. You could do everything that you can to try to prove that you have worth and meaning by working so hard to be smarter than everyone, to show that you're acceptable, to show that, you know, I'm not a loser. I really have some worth. You could do everything that you can to be accepted and loved and affirmed. But the very people that you think, if you get their acceptance and love and affirmation, it means everything to you. But I'm here to tell you, you can't get it that way. You won't. The only place, my friends, the only place that you will ever be able to find it is from the living water. It's from Christ. So will you stop going to the well? Will you allow Jesus to give you the living water? The well means so many things to so many people. Where's that well for you? Where's the thing that you're going to almost on a daily basis to say, maybe this time, maybe this week, maybe this month, I'll get satisfied? And I'm just asking you, would you consider that vain exercise for satisfaction? Would you open your heart to embrace the living water? The one who has died for you, the one who gives you a righteousness that's not your own. You see, the reason that Jesus is able to accept you is because He died for you. And that leads to the second reason. The second reason that Jesus is able to quench our thirst is because of His beauty, but it's also because of His agony. See, what you see in Jesus is a Savior who does more than embrace you. He actually takes your place. And in all the fullness of the shame and the guilt that you could not bear to live with, you know what Jesus did? He took it. And He did more than go to the well in a time when nobody's there. You know what He did? He went to the center of the world and He hung on that cross. Filled with nakedness and shame, insult, persecution. He was cursed. All the shame that you could ever dream, I mean, it's a nightmare of ever living through. You don't have to live through it. You're absolved from it. You are forgiven. You know why you're forgiven? Because Jesus took it. He took the agony the shame of this woman, and he gave her the beauty of his life. My friends, that's what Jesus has done for you. And that is why Jesus is living water. And only he can quench your thirst. Can you hear an amen? Let's close this time with prayer. I'm going to give you a moment to reflect on Jesus. And I'm going to ask you once again, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of going to the same well over and over and over again? My friends, there's nothing to worry about. I don't care what you've ever done. I don't care where you've ever been. I don't care who you really think you are. Jesus is not here to condemn you. Jesus died for you. He's here to be your Savior. But he can only be your Savior. He can only give you the living water if you ask him for a drink. So I want to ask you, will you ask him for a drink? I don't know what that means for you, but will you ask him for the drink? Will you just confess, Lord, forgive me for forgetting, disbelieving, neglecting, and constantly been turning to all these things. I'm just tired. It's led me nowhere. And it's only led me to become more angry, more thirsty, more frustrated, more hurt. And yes, more filled with shame. I'm so embarrassed. I can't even tell anybody about it. But I know you know. And I know you forgive. And Lord, I just need you. Maybe I don't even know what that means. Maybe I don't even know how to take a drink. But I do know that I need you. Lord, thank you for being everything for us. Thank you for bearing the shame that we deserved and taking the punishment that should have befallen us. In doing so, not begrudgingly, not spitefully, not holding it against us. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our living water. And thank you that one day, Lord, when you return and all is said and done, thank you that we'll never have to deal with this. Never have to deal with the cup. Never have to deal with water. We'll be living in the river of life. And we look forward to that day where we'll see you face to face. Until that time, Lord, keep us from constantly going back to the well. Work in our lives, Lord. Work. We just thank you. We pray these things in Christ's name.